Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with the headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Tian Lu, coming up in this edition. Turkey's main opposition party have claimed the victory in the key cities of Istanbul and Ankara in municipal elections. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the military is ready to attack Gaza city of Rafah amid protests from thousands in Jerusalem demanding his resignation. And in the U.S. city of Baltimore, workers have begun clearing the wreckage from the site of a deadly bridge collapse last week. We begin with the Middle East. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan says his ruling alliance will carry out self-criticism and address shortcomings. It comes after his party suffered a major blow in local elections over the weekend. Early results from the municipal elections indicate that the main opposition, the Republican People's Party, succeeded in retaining control of several key cities, including Istanbul and Ankara. It is said to be Erdogan's worst defeat in more than two decades in power and could signal a change in the country's divided political landscape. Erdogan has called the result a turning point. Mikhail Badvid has more details.
March 31st, 2024 will certainly be marked as a day of victory for Turkey's main opposition Republican People's Party, CHP. According to early results, the CHP party appears set to retain power in Istanbul, Izmir, Antalya, and with a landslide win in the capital, Ankara. One of the first to deliver a victory speech was Ankara Mayor Mansur Yavaş, who promised to embrace all of the city's residents as thousands of his supporters cheered him on. But the biggest prize for the opposition may be winning Istanbul, the country's economic hub, once again. Losing Istanbul to incumbent Mayor Ekrem İmamoğlu in 2019 was a major setback for President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, who campaigned intensely in an effort to reconquer Istanbul in this election cycle. The city holds significant symbolism for Erdogan, who launched his political career as mayor here in 1994. İmamoğlu also declared victory on Sunday and stated that the election result was also a message to the ruling government and President Erdogan. He called on the government to cooperate with local officials instead of creating obstacles for them, especially on vital issues such as earthquake measures. İmamoğlu also underlined that Erdogan's mega project, Canal Istanbul, should be cancelled entirely. İmamoğlu was already seen as a potential challenger to Erdogan. The nationwide boost by the opposition in these elections could likely elevate İmamoğlu to an even stronger opponent against Erdogan in the next presidential elections in 2028.
That was Mikhail Badvid on Turkey's local elections. Thousands of Israelis marched in Jerusalem on Sunday, calling for more efforts to free the hostages in Gaza and for the ouster of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The Prime Minister addressed the nation and said the military was preparing to launch an attack on Rafah, a refuge for over 1 million displaced Palestinians. Sam Menick has more from Jerusalem.
Egypt's state media said that ceasefire negotiations resumed in Cairo on Sunday. It's unclear if Hamas was there. It's also unclear what these talks were focused on. The situation is still developing. But Netanyahu has said that he has given his intelligence chiefs permission and approval to continue these discussions and has given them negotiating instructions. But there have been several rounds of talks already that have fallen through, and there are little hopes that these current talks are going to yield anything different. Netanyahu is, however, under increasing pressure back at home. Israelis are getting angrier and more frustrated of his handling of the hostage crisis as well as his handling of the war. I was in Jerusalem where tens of thousands of people were protesting outside the parliament. This was the largest anti-government protest since the war began. People were demanding that the hostages come home. They were also demanding that Netanyahu resign. I spoke to a man named Udi. He traveled from the southern city of Eilat for hours just to reach Jerusalem, saying that he wants Netanyahu out, even if that means so during the war, because he's had 6 months to turn things around and he has not done so. Netanyahu addressed the nation on Sunday. He said that he felt the pain of the families of the hostages, but he said that elections now would only paralyze the government for up to 8 months, and it would also paralyze these hostage talks. Also on Sunday, Netanyahu's office said that he was undergoing surgery for a hernia. The Justice Minister, Yariv Levin, is going to be the acting prime minister in his place until he comes back. Now, while this is happening, there are still attacks going on all across Gaza. The health ministry said that 77 people have been killed within the last 24 hours. And there are attacks continuing on hospitals. At least 2 people were killed, 15 injured, including journalists, in the compound of the Al-Aqsa Hospital. Israel said it was striking the Islamic militant group Islamic Jihad, that it hits them. They had a command center there, but it did not affect the hospital's ability to function. Israel's also into its second week of its raid on the Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City. It said that it found in the maternity ward on Sunday weapons that some were stashed underneath the mattress as well as inside walls. But hospital staff there say that the situation is inhumane. There's not enough water or medicine, and the World Health Organization has warned that there are only 10 minimally functioning hospitals now in all of Gaza, and thousands of people don't have access to health care.
That was Sam Metnick in Jerusalem. As the conflict in Gaza rages, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has taken steps to reform the Palestinian Authority. He has sworn in a new government headed by businessman Mohammed Mustafa, who was appointed premier last month. Abbas has also vowed to strengthen humanitarian aid to Gaza and vitalize the Palestinian economy. Akram El-Satari has more from Rafah.
The new government has around 8 Palestinian ministers from Gaza. They allocated some minister position for the Gaza reconstruction and rebuilding and relief as well. And that indicates of their willingness to engage in the humanitarian relief processes and include them within their political program for the years to come. However, this government came while the division has been overshadowing all the different political dynamics in Gaza Strip, East Jerusalem and West Bank. So they have still a duty to reassure the Palestinians and to let them know that Gaza, West Bank and East Jerusalem are united under the Palestinian Authority, and that government is coming to rebuild, is coming to reassure, is coming to represent united Palestinian community and to take them towards the Palestinian national goals. That is a challenge that needs to be addressed by the government. And this challenge is meeting doubt and skepticism by the Palestinians who are waiting to see what would truly be happening to them and to that government.
That was Akram El-Satari reporting from Rafah. Now turning to North America. Workers have begun clearing the wreckage of a collapsed bridge in Maryland. The Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore collapsed after being hit by an out-of-control cargo ship last week. 2 bodies have been recovered and 4 more people are missing. Authorities hope the removal of the wreckage will help rescuers recover all the bodies and reopen a key shipping lane. Popim Putin has more.
Safety crews arrived on scene in Baltimore Saturday to begin the painstaking task of disentangling parts of the Francis Scott Key Bridge from the Dali cargo ship. The vessel has up to 4,000 tons of bridge steel hanging on its bow.
The north sections of the Key Bridge are going to be cut up and removed. This will eventually allow us to open up a temporary restricted channel that will help us to get more vessels in the water around the site of the collapse.
The Port of Baltimore's closure is costing the economy billions of dollars as cargo transportation is halted. Officials are working to reopen the shipping lane as soon as possible. U.S. President Joe Biden has approved $60 million in initial funding to rebuild the bridge, which could take years. The original bridge took 5 years to complete. Meanwhile, the bodies of 4 construction workers have not yet been recovered.
Conditions in the water make it unsafe for rescue divers. And we're not just talking about weather and wind. We're talking about debris. We're talking about wreckage.
Investigations are underway to ascertain why the ship lost power, causing it to collide with the bridge nearly a week ago.
Our entire focus on scene is to collect the perishable evidence. That's documenting the scene, it's taking photographs, it's taking any sort of electronics or components, whatever goes away once the scene is cleaned up.
The ship's crew is still on board, assisting investigators.
That was Popping Putin on Baltimore's deadly bridge collapse. Finally, in China, Xiong'an New Area in northern China is marking its 7th anniversary. The area relieves Beijing of non-essential functions related to its status as the nation's capital. It is also designed to help advance the coordinated development of the Beijing-Tianjin-Hebei region. The country has also vowed to build the city of the future in Hebei province into an innovative, green, smart and world-class metropolis in line with China's high-quality development paths. Ning Hong has gone to Xiong'an for an up-close look.
For the last 7 years, the most obvious change in this area is the city infrastructure, the development of city infrastructure. And for example, 7 years ago, I was here and this place was just a rural area with villages and vast farmlands. But now, where I am standing, this is one of the first blocks being built here, and there are hundreds of buildings at this moment in this area. It's called the Rongdong area, where mainly for people who used to live in Xiong'an area before the city was established, and now they all moved here. And there are also another cluster to the west being built. It's called Rongxi. Also, even more buildings are now being built somewhere to the south. So this is a developing city. It is still very young, but the city infrastructure is following the standard, some of the best levels here in China. And for people living here, I think the privilege they have is that they suddenly just moved from rural area into some modern city in just 7 years. And also, while the city infrastructure has actually attracting more innovative companies from Beijing, also from other areas, because this is a new city, so everything is starting from ground zero. And while there, it given the advantage of some advanced technologies to be applied in the city, for example, even especially those city management technologies, for example, the self-driving technologies. I've seen that self-driving shuttle buses just making tours here. They're testing these kind of buses because all the roads here are being modified to increase some radars as well as cameras to helping the self-driving bus to travel around the city. Also, like the traffic lights here, they're all AI controlled with cameras also capturing the traffic to automatically changing the traffic lights technology, something like that. At the same time, it is also developing policies to attract innovative companies as well as industries from across the country, because well, our talents here could enjoy the same education with Beijing as well as the medical facilities as well. One of the advantages of people living here is that while the city is developing under a new philosophy, there's no skyscrapers here, and also there are many roads and blocks are being divided for different functions. And what the concept is that people could do everything they to fetch everything they need within 15 minutes of drive. They could go to school, go to work, and also to hospital, to supermarkets, all within 15 minutes time. Also, the coverage of plants and forests as well as parks here is also in a very high level. The goal is to reach 70% in the future.
That was Ning Hong on how China's city of the future in Hebei province has been faring over the past 7 years. Recapping today's headlines, Turkey's main opposition party has claimed a victory in the key cities of Istanbul and Ankara in municipal elections. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the military is ready to attack Gaza city of Rafah amid protests from thousands in Jerusalem demanding his resignation. And workers in the U.S. city of Baltimore have begun clearing the wreckage from the site of a deadly bridge collapse last week. That's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Tianlu. Thank you for listening.